No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tame,
tame it to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me, along with Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. Rumor has it Ed is going to join us as well before we finish today's virtual flight through the latest aviation news and information. But we'll see how that unfolds. Keith, how are you, buddy?
I am doing absolutely fantastic, sir. How about yourself?
I'm good. You know, I've spent a lot of time online wasting away watching YouTube videos. So I figured, well, if I'm going to do it, might as well waste everybody else's time and talk about it as well. You think?
Absolutely. Why not?
Yeah, why not? That's what we're trying to keep everybody informed with the latest popular, you know, trends and that kind of thing. And of course, I'm talking about two big videos on YouTube this week. One is the cat in the ultralight, and that is freaking hilarious. And if you haven't seen it, just put cat in a plane up on YouTube, and the video will definitely get brought up. Have you seen this, Keith, or no?
I have not seen it.
You have not seen the cat in the plane video?
I have not.
Okay, well, let me...
It sounds like I'm missing out.
Well, you know, obviously, you're probably one of the only people on the planet that haven't seen it when you look at all the views this stupid video has gotten. But it actually has a lesson that maybe pilots can appreciate more than even the general public, and that is... You better be thorough with your walk around, because this guy and his partner in crime, wife or whatever, was flying an ultralight, and they were obviously filming the flight with like a GoPro video or something that was filming down at them flying the airplane. And you see the plane take off, and as soon as it takes off, you notice something up in the right-hand corner, and the pilot, after he gets some altitude, he looks over to his left above his wife or girlfriend and looks like, holy crap, there's a cat hanging there from the rafters just under the wing. And this cat is like starting to scrunch out, and he probably heard it, even though he had headphones on, because you can see the cat starting to go, meow, meow, you know, and probably screaming and like, oh my God, I'm off the ground, I'm going to die or something, you know, and the cat's hanging on for dear life. So he comes around and he lands the plane, and obviously, I guess everything ends up okay. But it is one of the funniest videos you've ever seen, especially when you realize, you know, as at the point where the pilot realizes there's a cat hanging from a strut from you know, just below his wing to the left. It is so funny. Funny, funny, well, funny.
You know, I hear that cats always land on their feet.
Well, exactly. So, you know, it was going to end good regardless. Well, I mean, or he would have been at least flattened in a proper position. You think? It's a cat. Who cares, right? No. No, whatever. Okay, so look, I guess, how do you miss something like that on a walk around, though? You know what I'm saying? Unless maybe the cat was wandering around and he didn't really notice it until, you know, they were taken off and it jumped up on the plane maybe after. Maybe I could give him that benefit of the doubt. But I don't know. That's not typically what your walk around or pre-flight inspection is for, is it? To check for stowaways, or is it?
No, it's not, unless you're coming out of the Bahamas or something like that. Then you're looking for those square groupers, you know, that we have talked about before.
Oh right, exactly. Yeah, but they usually aren't living critters per se.
Right. But however, yeah, you know, I mean, this kind of stuff can happen, you know. But I don't know, since I haven't seen the video, I don't know exactly what kind of an airplane it was or ultralight it was, so that, you know, was it really visible prior to the departure or not?
You would, you know, think they're, so. You know, it was one of those big frame ultralights, so it had just a big frame. It had no body or fuselage to it. You know what I'm saying? So it was like a two-seat open-air ultralight.
Yeah, so. But does it, like, blend in with it? You know, is it the same kind of color? Is it, you know, there's a lot of factors involved here. You know, I mean, there's people that have, you've heard the stories of people that have tried to get on airliners by hiding up in the landing gear wells.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, they don't make it either.
True.
Yeah, they were missed on a pre-flight. So, you know,
yeah.
It happens. Mm-hmm, it happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the cat was meowing quite loudly, or looked like it. And maybe it was just going, woo! I don't know. Maybe it was enjoying the ride.
You know, it probably was, because, you know, cats do like to fly.
Do they?
Well, yeah, look at them. I mean, just watch them jump all over the place.
Oh, I thought you were going to say when you take them by the tail and swing them around and throw them. And send your hate mail to keith@justplainradio.com.
See, now you're insinuating things here that
you're a cat person, is what you're saying then. No?
Yeah, no. I'm not fond of cats.
Okay, well, that is one video worth perusing, and maybe, you know, you can use it as a lesson for a pilot to make sure you're a little bit more thorough on your walk around, because, you know, you never know what might be hiding in some crack or crevice. Could be a cat. A bird maybe isn't that far-fetched, is it? You know,
no.
Some of those, inside the where, well, I don't know, right inside the air ducts, so you do get bird nests in there.
Oh, yeah, if an airplane's been sitting a while, and it doesn't take real long either. So, yeah you would definitely have to take a look at that.
And you've had that happen before with some of your planes, haven't you?
We have, yep.
So have you actually had any birds in there, or just bird nests?
No, I've only found the nests.
Okay. Yeah, I guess, you know, probably they're spooked out of there most of the time. But anyway, and maybe that's why the cat was there. It was looking for a bird stuck in one of those cowlings or something. Who knows? But anyway, okay, so that's one video. Another video, and we kind of touched on it a little bit last week, but it was at 787. Now, you've seen that new Boeing airplane, right? That did literally almost a vertical takeoff. Like a rocket off the runway. And I think they were shooting that as a demonstration video for the Paris Air Show, which was last weekend. But, man, over 9 million people have seen this video now. That thing definitely went viral. And people are thinking, whoa, could that be my next domestic flight, from Newark to L.A. or what, you know?
You know, the 787 is, you know, it's been a very publicized airplane.
Yeah,
and a lot of people really like them. Our buddy Jim flies a 787, and
like that.
Yes. Well, no, he doesn't. The airlines, everybody can rest assured that when they are on an airline flight, that they will never have a flight just like that, because of all the parameters that the airline pods need to maintain.
But wouldn't it be fun? I mean, come on.
Well, I think it would be fun, but your average passenger. We have to try and remember as pilots that they are not paying for Mr. Toad's Wild Ride when they get on an airliner. You know, as much fun as we think something like that would be, to be able to do that. Yeah, they don't necessarily think that is.
Grab your cat. We're going for a spin. And,
let's see if the cat's like that.
Have them be the test pilots first.
Yeah.
I mean, when it does, you've seen that video. When it goes off almost vertical like that, how many G's do you think that would transfer back to the passengers? Would it be, like, insane, or maybe not so much? Or do you have any idea?
Well, it all depends on exactly how they're doing it.
Yeah.
But it's probably going to be at least two, I would guess.
Yeah. And that would make, so at least double your weight is what you're saying? Is that what it would do?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it would be a great ride for sure. And I guess they're just showing the capability of this airplane if it ever got into a situation where it needed to do something that extreme to avoid some, airspace obstacle, I guess. Is that you think that's what they were trying to showcase, or just showcasing the, the response or the fact that it could climb to that degree?
I think they were just showing the performance of that aircraft.
Just showing off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's only has two engines. But they're very, very powerful engines.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things that I was watching in that video, and I don't know if you noticed it or not, but the flex in the wings and the way the wings just kind of folded up as it rotated and the wings begin to carry the weight of the aircraft.
Mm.
And it's pretty incredible the amount of flex in those wings. It's difficult to see on an airplane when you are sitting on the airplane. You know, you see the wings kind of out there shaking a little bit, you know, in the turbulent air, but you don't actually see how much the wings have flexed upwards as you rotate the airplane, and the wings now are carrying the weight of the airplane.
Yeah.
And that was pretty impressive to me to see the amount of flex in that in the wings on that airplane.
And they
did
were
you notice
designed.
That at all?
I did, actually. I saw some, I saw some play-by-play of it, and they were bringing up the fact that that particular plane was very flexible in the wings. And if you looked at it, you could see that flexing a little bit more. You're obviously looking for that, but even for the, to the layman like myself, so to speak, I found it intriguing indeed. And I just wondered, why didn't they just go all the way around and do a loop-de-loop? They could have done it.
Well, that might have defeated the purpose of the lift just a little bit.
Well,
I'm not sure.
It would have looked cool. That would have been even a better video. They would have got 10 million views instead of 9. I'm just saying.
Well, that could very well be. That could very well be.
Well, that'll be the next one. More coming up on Just Plain Radio. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Attention pilots, stay connected while off the grid with the Spot Gen 3 satellite GPS messenger. Right now, get a Spot Gen 3 for half price. The life-saving device every pilot needs is 50% off. No matter where you go, the Spot Gen 3 allows you to contact your family, friends, and emergency personnel with just the push of a button. Go to findmespot.com/plane to learn more and get 50% off. Spot Gen 3, 3,500 rescues and counting.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Flying is the worst one because people come back from flights and they tell you their story. And it's like a horror story. They act like their flight was like a cattle car in the 40s in Germany. That's how bad they make it sound.
Right.
They're like, it was the worst day of my life. First of all, we didn't board for 20 minutes. Right. And then we get on the plane and they made us sit there on the runway for 40 minutes. Oh, really? What happened next? Did you fly through the air incredibly like a bird? Did you partake in the miracle of human flight, you non-contributing zero? That you got to fly? You're flying! It's amazing!
Oh, down there, the morning made of sailors in the air, keeping the midnight stars held high.
This is Just Plain Radio. We are the captains of the sky for you today, navigating through the latest aviation news and information. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me along with Captain Keith. Ed threatens to join us a little bit later on to round out today's crew. We got to talk about a few things. We're kind of recapping some stuff from last week. News was breaking on, this ATC thing. They're trying to fund the FAA. And Republican Representative Bill Schuster has put out a proposal to break ATC away from the FAA and create a new funding source and committee and kind of privatize it, so to speak, create a, like a, I don't know, a separate entity outside of the FAA to manage ATC more efficiently, so he believes. However, the big controversy wasn't necessarily that, but how it was going to be funded, which he himself was quoted as saying he felt user fees was one way to do so. And obviously that created quite a stink, including with some of the crew right here on Just Plane Radio. What say you, Keith?
I would absolutely agree that that is a stink if they're going to use user fees.
Yes.
However, I do think that ATC should be privatized. I think all the next-gen stuff that they've been attempting to do for the last few years, and the government just can't get it right, and they can't get it funded and all those kinds of things. If it was in private industry, it would have been done a long time ago.
Yes, because if it was in private industry, whoever was in charge of doing it would have been fired. They would have been through two or three different managers by now, is my guess. And maybe that would it might you know, expedite the process a little bit. But, you know, I would tend to agree with you on that as well. The user fee thing, a big, I mean, that's just scary for a lot of folks in general aviation. And the good news is, Mark Baker from AOPA, he's already put out there, like, look, we're behind this as well, and kind of feel the same way as you do, how you just described it, Keith. But they say no user fees as well. The fuel tax is there. It's in place. It can be used to fund this. They shouldn't be looking for any other revenue streams, and user fees is only going to end up hurting general aviation. So AOPA is on it. We'll see how this thing unfolds. You not only you got to figure out a way to fund this organization, this new committee, or I don't know what you call this group or what it's going to be, but also how are the folks that are running it, the board, are going to be represented? Because he said, you know, it's going to be equal representation. That's a big issue as well. Commercial pilots or airlines versus general aviation. Could the commercial carriers come in there and say, oh yeah, we'll pay user fees, and then and overtake the board, and they kind of control everything, and then general aviation ends up being the ball-headed stepchild of the whole effort, and we ended up getting squeezed as far as airspace restrictions and things like that. So I guess there's a lot of stuff to keep your eye on, and at least AOPA is definitely going to keep everyone up to date on that, and that's what they do for us. So hopefully they'll kind of keep our interests protected. You think, Keith?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Tom Haines is great about, you know, he's not the one who actually does that, but, you know, he certainly keeps everybody informed as to what it does. They've got a whole committee that takes care of that stuff. But, you know, I think as things progress and the pilot shortage gets greater and greater, the airlines are going to come to realize real quick that user fees is not going to be the way to go, because it's going to increase their cost as well. And, you know, the general aviation is a huge, huge part of our economy, and a lot of people don't realize that, how much a small airport in a local community increases the revenue that are generated by that community by having that airport there. And all of it works together, and, you know, it's a great thing to privatize it. I think it will work very well for us.
Mm-hmm.
We just got to get some kinks worked out of it. I don't think the FAA is going to turn it over very easily on their own. They're going to go kicking and screaming, because they're going to lose a lot of their funding by having to turn that over.
Well, maybe they're thinking, well, yeah, they'll set up user fees and let them fund this, and then they won't mess with our budget. But, I don't think that's how Mark Baker at AOPA wants to see this go, as well as a lot of other folks. So, the thing is, though, the fuel, I mean, I keep being told that the fuel taxes that we're already paying are more than enough to cover the cost of funding ATC.
But they absolutely are. And the problem, Greg, is the same problem that we have with our Social Security system. The government grabs money out of that fund to fund something else, and so it takes away from there. And our government just doesn't know how to handle money. There's no other way to put it. They just don't know how to handle money. And it's got nothing to do with the fact that, or it has everything to do with the fact that it doesn't hurt them in any way, shape, or form. It's not their money.
Mm.
It's our money. It's our tax money. You know, you can't spend money at your household the way the federal government does and is, you know, kind of throws it all around at, you know, different things. We've got to have a study committee for this and that. It just doesn't work. I mean, just take something very simple as if the highway department, the state's highway department, doesn't use the same amount of money that they used last year, they don't get that much money next year.
That's right. So they find a way to spend it on something
that they don't need. Uh-huh. And that's the way our government runs, and it's totally backwards as to any kind of finance. And so, you know, Mark, Tom, AOPA, support them. You got to get underneath AOPA. Your membership is really cheap, and they do a tremendous amount for us.
Yeah. Well, and AOPA Live is a good source to check out every week. Every Thursday, they put out a new episode, and I'd highly recommend it. It's where I stay up to date on a lot of stuff with Tom and Melissa, helping keep everybody informed for general aviation issues like this, you know, and what we may have to do as a membership or you know, voicing our concerns to our representatives when is needed. And this could be one of those situations. We'll see. You know, the thing I don't understand, though, about the fuel taxes that are being collected now, that's what you're saying, they're cannibalizing that budget and taking it and using it for other things other than general aviation, and that's why they're whining that we need more money? Is that what's going on?
Correct.
At least for how you understand it, huh? But
yes,
if they kept their hands off of it, there's plenty of money to fund another private organization or committee to oversee ATC. At least that's the way you understand it.
Yes.
Okay. Well,
absolutely.
We will see, and we will stay abreast of this as much as we can right here at Just Plain Radio. We got some crazy stories in the aviation world to navigate through, and we'll get to them next right here on Just Plain Radio. Stay tuned.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals, FTPros.com, the website to go to and learn how to fly with Ed or Keith. Well, you take your pick, or you kind of tag team them to fly.
Yes, I'm glad you added that part in there. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right, look, Paris Air Show was last week. Big, big event. You ever go to that thing or know people that go to that that huge event or what?
No, I can't say that I do.
It's a pretty big international air show, I guess, from what I'm reading. A lot of the manufacturers go there, some pretty big innovations kind of thing. I guess maybe that's the World Air Show, and then Air Ventures, like the big U.S. U.S. or Woodstock of Aviation Show kind of thing, maybe, you think?
Yes.
Something
yeah,
like that?
Exactly. Well, yeah, we don't have a great big air show like that in the U.S. that has all kinds of airliners and stuff like that at.
Yeah.
We've got the experimental aviation one here.
Right. Oh, okay, yeah, exactly. This is more like commercial airliners and things, but crazy technology at the Paris Air Show. Now, you thought drones and those kind of things were bad enough. Well, at the Paris Air Show, they not only talked about drones. That was obviously a big topic of discussion and how to avoid them and all that kind of thing. Now they're talking about personal satellites, where, you know, it used to be evidently that satellites were like, you know, a couple $1 million, and these companies like DirecTV or, you know, whoever would launch these satellites and they would circle the globe. Well, evidently there's companies now coming up with mini satellites that are less than $500,000, like $350,000. You could have your own satellite.
I'm not sure why I would need my own satellite.
Well, you didn't know you needed your own drone. You didn't know you needed an iPhone. But this could be the next thing. These little mini nano satellites is what they're talking about. It could be the next thing that we'll have our own personal satellite circling the globe.
So now Big Brother really knows where I'm at every second of every day and what I'm doing.
Well, if you were to buy your own satellite, yeah. I mean, he's not going to do it for you. You got to purchase your own. Or maybe it's a satellite to monitor big government for you.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to work that way.
It's a sign of the apocalypse. Let's face it. All right,
more
coming up. Stay close.
Hey,
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up. You want to hit back? We're going to have to wingsuit in. It's the only way to get close. I can't promise anyone a ride home, but if you're with me, the world needs you now.
And I can fly.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed, who just walked in. He's dripping wet. And so...
I was driving in a thunderstorm.
And how did you get so wet? You had the windows down?
Well, I had
down?
To get out to the truck to get here.
Okay. And then, when, of course, we have Keith, who's connected from St. Louis via the web. So we have a full crew now. But even if we...
I don't know. With me here, I'm sure it's not full.
It's full of something, yeah.
Well, that's Keith.
Okay. Well.
He's full of that.
Hey, now.
All right. So, yeah, you came in from the storm.
Of course, all of our listeners from the know rain. That already anyway, so we're
exactly.
not telling
anything
new.
As a good flight instructor, I made it back to the airport, got the airplane tied down,
yeah.
got inside and before the rain started, and with a full plan to get to the truck before the rain started, because that's really the sign of a great flight instructor. Not only do you get the airplane tied down before rains, you get back in the building and get the customer in the car before the rain hits.
That's pretty good.
But
now, did you see the storm coming, though?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty ugly right now.
We were kind of watching it on the way back in, and and then once we got back in, it really started to develop, and got the fleet recovered and tied down, and then
were you feeling anything as far as it coming in? Like,
the winds were starting to get a little funky,
yeah.
And so
just switching around a little bit.
So we were starting to see signs of the gust front. So that's time to call them all in and got them all tied down, and then, like I say, we're back in the office doing the debrief, and it was a progress check, and you never want to rush one of those. That's why I was late, because you're giving a guy a test, you want him to take his time. So, and there were some things we had to talk about afterwards of things that he needed to work on and improve. And, he had lots of questions. So, I took my time, and that's when the rain started. And then,
before the rain started,
then the hail started. And that's when I decided I'm going to wait for the hail to stop before I left the building.
Well, the lightning was going on before that. We're getting, some serious lightning going on right now.
Oh, yeah.
Did that not expedite the training process as well? It's like, hey, hurry up, get it right, or we're going to die.
No. We did see a few lightning.
Place to be,
yeah.
In an airplane during a lightning strike.
What? Get out!
He speaks from experience.
Are you kidding me? Even like a Cessna 172.
No. Yeah.
Why is this? Why do you say that?
No, if you're talking airliners, yeah, it's probably one of the safest places to be
because they're like super grounded or something. Or what do you mean?
No, well, they're not grounded. They're
in the air.
Oh, you mean when they're in? Okay, well, I'm talking about when he's landed the airplane. You're saying if you're in an airplane in a lightning storm, you're safer than you would be if you were on the ground driving a car or just walking around.
Yes, because airplanes are designed to take a lightning hit, and Boeing actually has a I don't know what you call it, a lab, I guess you would call it that
lightning lab.
A lightning lab that they take each airframe and they zap it. And, it's a smaller model of that airplane.
I know that.
I want to see that.
I think Doc Brown heads that division up for me. Great Scott! Okay.
You kind of look like him.
Okay, thank you. That wasn't a compliment, was it?
But he looks younger than you.
Okay. All right, so they're used to this, or they've learned a lot from this lightning stuff. But still, you don't want to. If you're in a general aviation plane, you don't want to be out there in this stuff. Not at all.
No, you really don't.
I mean, especially in a small Cessna-like aircraft, I would think that would be friggin' terrifying.
Yeah.
That would be, creepy, and actually, it'd be kind of cool in a sense, too.
Well, I'm coming back from Lake Apopka, we had lightning off down about Disney.
Yeah.
And I'm coming back in about Highway 50, so it's about 15 miles south of me.
Yeah.
And then there were some lightning strikes that I was seeing on the east side of the airport over by Bithlow.
Right.
You know, so that's where we, you know, we came in, one landing, brought it in.
Well, you don't have to be very close to the storm to get hit by lightning.
No,
even
that's what
in
I'm
a
saying.
Plane, too, right?
We got in at the right time. And what happened is all these storms and you always talk about the ocean breezes or the sea breezes. Mm-hmm. Well, they collided right over the executive airport.
Okay.
And so it was building there, and shortly after getting inside the building, it started raining, and then, like I say, it just opened up, and
right.
Hail and lightning, and you know the doors are sucking open because the wind's blowing so hard, and
mm-hmm.
so you know it's that was when the decision was I'm going to be late for the radio show because I'm not going to step out in this right away.
Where are your priorities, Ed? Seriously,
living.
You know, me here, you know, Keith and I weren't late. You know,
no. I think we were early.
We were. See?
Yeah, you don't work, and all he had to do was press a button on the computer from a hotel room and hook up.
Okay, details. But
hook up what?
Yeah. Well, I go back to this thing. It makes me wonder what it
don't
would be
Abington.
Like.
Don't tell Abington.
Yeah. What would happen if lightning struck like a 172 or 182? I mean, does it happen? It happens.
Oh, yeah. It's happened.
Oh, it happens.
Yeah.
It just it's going to blow out.
Blow fuses and things like that, probably, or make your hair stand straight up kind of deal.
Especially the new ones that have static wicks on it. The electricity is going to go through the path of least resistance, so it's going to go out the tail for the most part.
So it's just going to go out the tail, just go through the airplane, might fry some electronics if you got a really bad hit. But would the pilot feel it, or would he just get shot kind of thing, or it just depends on the type of lightning strike, I guess, huh?
Yeah. For the most part, he's not going to feel anything. He's going to, you know, it could blind you. That would be the worst-case scenario.
And after it happens, you become psychic. I've seen this on TV shows. Once you get struck by lightning, you become psychic or something.
I thought you become the Flash.
Yeah.
Oh, that could happen, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's just for a split second,
mm-hmm.
and then you're back to normal.
Okay.
But yeah, you can talk to dead people or something once this happens. But
Keith, do you get the feeling that we're doing that right now?
Yeah, exactly.
There actually is a point to bringing this nonsense up, and that is AOPA has this, they have one of those classes, online classes you can take. They're connected to the pilot resources at AOPA.org about thunderstorm avoidance. You guys teach that a lot? Or is just part of the curriculum?
I firmly believe in thunderstorm avoidance.
Well, yeah, exactly. But is there, I mean, what would you do other than, you know, look for the signs of these type of clouds? That's a potential thunderstorm starting to develop because it is something we deal with quite
daily,
a bit here.
Daily in the summer.
Yeah. I mean, right
and
now we're in
the
we're prime
season. Funny things
for
today,
it.
they were when they normally happen, but they were earlier than what the forecast said.
Yeah.
So it probably caught a lot of people off guard. But yes, I mean, not only are we talking about how to identify what could cause the thunderstorm, but we're also teaching, as they're looking at the various weather products, looking at the signs that a thunderstorm could be prevalent in that area, even to the point of using local TV equipment. You know, that futurecast that they use on some of the TV stations is very good for predicting when the thunderstorms and what area they're going to occur in.
Right, but if you're flying VFR, mm-hmm. you should be able to just see this stuff when you're up there, right? Like, you see the clouds are billowing up a certain way. Okay, I just got to stay away from that. That's going to...
Well, okay. You know. You've got three stages of a thunderstorm. Where do you see lightning occur?
Well, not till the last part.
Which part
towards
is that?
The middle end or third phase.
Like the third phase? That would be the dissipating phase.
Oh, okay. Well, then right there in the heart of it.
The mature
phase. The mature, that's right. I remember this. Vaguely.
Vaguely.
I'll do a refresher. Don't worry. I'm going to do a refresher.
What's the other sign of the beginning of the mature stage?
It billows up very high vertically, like pillow, like that kind of thing. And it's grayish. and flashes of light inside.
We're not talking about your hair here.
Hey, that hair doesn't billow up. There's not much left to billow up.
And that's I was talking about the gray.
No, that's not gray. Those are highlights. Okay, anyway, so you were saying.
White highlights.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Shows character. And you were saying what?
I'm saying what? I don't know.
Well, so am I right or what?
You're right, rarely.
Well, I'm asking you to give me a gold star or a banana or something.
Unfortunately, I can't this time.
I figure. So what is that? What
when,
are we looking
when,
for?
When the precipitation starts to fall
yeah.
and reach the surface, that's the signal of the beginning of the mature stage, which will include lightning. And then the dissipating stage is when you're starting to see outflow at the top, and that's where the anvil head comes out.
Mm, okay. So,
and that's usually where it chucks hail about 20, 30 miles out in front of the storm.
Yeah, and that's where you don't want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to be there
and
at all.
That's why avoidance says we need to stay about 20 miles from the thunderstorm.
20 miles, okay.
And then when you're coming into land, the gust front can be up to 5 miles in front of the actual storm. So it looks like the storm is not at the airport yet, but about the time you're landing is when you get a major shift in wind's direction and velocity and actually causes a lot of accidents.
You want to avoid that too, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
That's the spirit. Keep them flying.
1, 2, 3, like a bird I sing, 'cause you've given me the most beautiful set of wings. And I'm so glad you're here today, 'cause tomorrow I might have to go and fly away.
Hey! This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. We are your crew as we navigate the latest aviation news and information, thunderstorms, and avoidance of them is kind of what we're talking about, just because that's what we got going on right now during
it's a current
Just Plane
topic.
Radio. Yeah, very current. And any second now, we could be knocked off the air. Because of these friggin' things. We can't avoid them as easily as we could in our airplanes. You hear what
yeah,
I'm saying?
It's hard to move your house. It's not like it's a motorhome.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so. What are you going to do? Hop in a plane and go fly. But you know, we talked about avoiding them. What happens if you just accidentally get stuck in one. I mean, you didn't plan right, or some kind of something snuck up on you. And next thing you know, there was no way out, and one of these things starts surrounding you. What are you going to do, Keith?
Well, you know, first of all, you should never ever get stuck in one, because proper planning or just shutting down the flight, you know, diverting someplace.
Yeah,
don't ever want to get stuck in there.
Right.
But if you do get stuck in a thunderstorm, all you want to do is maintain wings level.
That's it.
Don't try and maintain altitude. Just, you know, get a block of altitude from ATC if you need to.
Yeah.
And just maintain wings level. If you're going to attempt to try and maintain altitude, you're going to overstress the aircraft. Just maintain wings level and come out the other side.
So ride with the wing.
Wings level and pitch level.
Yep.
That you don't want to, if you're rising, you don't want to pitch down. If you're descending, you don't want to pitch up. You just want to keep straight and level.
Mm-hmm.
Ride the ups, ride the downs.
Yeah. Okay.
And don't try to turn, because as you turn, you increase the load factor. And if you're in an updraft or a downdraft, which is increasing the load factor too, you could exceed the structural integrity of the airplane.
Just because of those updrafts or downdrafts of the storm.
Yeah, because they are, you know, quite a bit more severe than what you've experienced on a sunny southern central Florida afternoon.
Yeah. Well, I would think the more likely scenario was what you were alluding to at the end of the last segment, where you know, one of these storms is coming or starting to develop, and okay, you're going to avoid it. You land, but those winds start going haywire and creating havoc for you when you're trying to land your plane.
And that's where you gotta have discipline to say to yourself, no, that thunderstorm's too close to the airport. Mm-hmm. I'm diverting. Go to some place where the thunderstorm's not at. Had a customer do it just, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
He was coming back from Ocala. He was coming up on Leesburg, looks towards Orlando, and it's getting pretty dark, and he scrolls out on the screen and sees there's some heavy rain going on in the Orlando area.
Yeah.
So he diverts into Leesburg and lands and gives us a call.
Okay.
I said, great decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I looked at the radar, and there probably were a couple places to get around, but he just stayed the heck away from it.
Yeah.
Great decision.
Yeah.
You know,
you got to know what your limitations are, and you got to follow those.
And, mm-hmm. He waited 2-3 hours. We talked about it. Things cleared up. He blasted. Well, then the thunderstorm started over Leesburg about the time it was clear in Orlando.
Of course.
He had to wait a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
But he waited that one out and then blasted off and came back into Orlando.
Yeah.
Made some very good decisions. And that was, with that customer, something that we were working on very hard during his training, because he was not the best at that.
He wasn't making good decisions.
He had that personality that was tending towards making the wrong decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. So from the standpoint of like, oh, I can sneak in before the storm gets really bad.
He very much had the macho, I can do this type of thing, and invulnerability, that can't happen to me. And, you know, we spent enough time with him that it might actually be sinking in. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I commended his decision.
So there's bold pilots, but there's not old bold pilots is what you're
saying. Yes.
I gotcha. Okay. I remember that
saying.
One.
Good.
Yeah.
So he remembers that, but he can't remember the mature stage of a thunderstorm.
Well, yeah, but that's way too technical. Come on. And all this bad weather nonsense and lightning strikes all around the studio today are kind of getting to me. We need to get away. And I know you have a much more feel-good piece that we can discuss to close out today's virtual flight. Do you not, Ed?
Yes, I do. Got a couple messages this week and said, love the article in Plane and Pilot. Thought it was great. You're mentioned. And I'm thinking, what is he talking about? Hmm. And I'd forgotten about this, but last year, a writer came and he did a checkout in the 182, and we did a G1000 transition, and then he rented it and took it to the Bahamas for a week.
Nice.
And his goal, and he told me when he was doing it, was to write an article for Plane and Pilot. So it's in this month's issue of Plane and Pilot, and we get a very good, not just a little glancing mention, but he gets in depth on the experience he had with flight training professionals.
Yeah.
And
so it said something like, despite what you hear on Just Plane Radio, Ed and Keith, they're actually really nice guys.
I didn't say Just Plane Radio got the plug.
They left that convenient factor out.
No, I'm sure I told him about it, but I think he just left it out. He might have listened to the show, I think.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
But no, and it goes into what he did in the Bahamas, and there's a picture of 510 Sierra Lima with them out in one of the islands area. And,
sweet.
And so it's really good. So pick up this month's issue of Planet Pilot and check us out. You can get it on the iTunes store and as an e-version or straight from their website, an electronic version, or they're actually in a lot of newsstands too.
Yeah. Well, we need to do that. But there's something standing in the way. I mean, Keith and I have already done it, but Ed just won't do this. You got to get a passport so we can go do this ourselves as opposed to sending out everybody else
I've
to have all the
fun.
I've
done that. Have the T-shirt. Why should I do it again?
It changes. Things are different now.
Wow. How? There's still sand.
There's sand, but there's sun.
We got sun
and
here.
Greg and I were there before.
That's right. And we
so there's a change for you.
Yeah, we ruined it. It's way different now. No, we
Now with what? That said, it's going to be renewed. We're already planning it for the fall.
Are you?
And we're having a Bahamas flyout in
so
the fall.
You're going to get your passport.
Yeah, we're going to try to take as many airplanes over as can, both our airplanes and owner airplanes.
I get
and
to go too, right?
I guess we could maybe work that out if you carry your weight.
Now you're asking a bit much. And on that note, we'll end it. Till next time, remember, there's no better high than learning to fly.
Just Plain Radio is brought to you by JustPlainRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site for Morbid.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plain Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlainRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plain Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plain Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlainRadio.com.